With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So welcome everyone to this week's action-packed, jam-packed EvoStick Extra. I'm Ben, and over there somewhere, amongst all the sirens and background noise of Stalybridge, we're now joined from the NPL Facebook group by the lovely James Hayes. Hello James, how are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So, coming up in this week's show, we've got loads of interviews. If your team's not being interviewed today, then my humble apologies, but we've got loads. We've got Alan Armstrong coming on from Blyth Spartans. We're going to be hearing from the managers at Sutton Coldfield, at Marine, at Hensford, at Nantwich. And we're also going to be previewing those big FA Cup matches as well. But before all of that, it's just last Saturday's FA Trophy, and for a little run through all the results in the first qualifying round, it's now time to hand over to Cockers.
Thanks, Ben, and making it through to the second qualifying round of this season's FA Trophy on Saturday, we have Buxton, who defeated Glossop North End in a Derbyshire derby by 2-0. Also through from the Premier Division, we have Barwell. They beat Ilkeston 2-0 away from home, as did Stafford Rangers, who beat Corbytown away by the same score. There was a fine result for Marine, who defeated Ashton United by 4-0, while Matlock defeated Spennymoor away from home. Michelover Sports beat Southern League leaders Leamington 1-0 away from home to go through. Nantwich Town knocked out Warrington, Hales Owen defeated Rushall, and Hensford Town dispatched Stafford, while Whitby Town got past Workington by 4-3. While from Division 1 North, Kendal knocked out Skem 3-1 away from home, while Kidsgrove, Stocksbridge, Lincoln United, Trafford, Ramy and Farsley Celtic also got through. But it was Division 1 South where the giant killings took place on Saturday. Colville were beaten by the solitary goal at AFC Rushton and Diamonds, while Leake Town beat Sutton Coldfield Town by 2-1. And Shorelane knocked out Frickley by 6-2. But result of the day perhaps goes to Goole, who held Blyth Spartans to a 1-1 draw.
So thank you to Cockers there. Some very interesting results, wasn't there, James?
There was indeed. I think the big one, the big shock of the round there was away at Leake Town, I believe.
We are going to be speaking to Neil Tooth, manager at Sutton Coldfield Town, in the middle of the show somewhere. It has been a difficult week for Sutton Coldfield Town, and Leake Town beat Sutton Coldfield by 2-1 on Saturday. Leake Town TV on YouTube caught up with Anthony Danilik after that match against Sutton Coldfield Town, so let's hear what he has to say.
What do you think, 2-1 against Sutton Coldfield?
I thought really positive from management point of view. I thought throughout the game we looked solid, never looked like we were going to concede a goal, to be honest. Disappointed at the end to concede that late on. But apart from that, I think we could have won the game comfortably 4 or 5, really. Keeper's made some really good saves. And it's just give it an extra bit of edge till the final whistle. Obviously, we're only staying at the 2, but like I say, if we'd have put our chances away today and the keeper had to add a worldie,
more comfortable.
Yeah, it could have been 4 or 5, really. I said to him before the game, and I said to him after the game again, just try and keep drilling it into him. It is a squad. And the squad that we've got at the minute, I think, is one of the strongest since I've been at the club, really. I think when we got to the playoffs and 2 years on the trot, that was a really strong squad. But looking back, how much change we've had over the summers and then coming into this season, I think forget the squad that we've got now and the quality. When you look at the bench and you turn around as a manager and see Jordan Johnson, Sam Grimshaw, Tom Franks,
yeah,
James Curley, all of them, I mean, they can all come into the side and fill a gap that when someone comes out in, it doesn't weaken the side. And that's something that we've got to try and manage. It's difficult. Obviously, the lads, part-time players, they don't get paid a great deal, and they just turn up and they want to play football. But what does make it better and easier for ourselves is when we're winning. And when we're winning, we've got a happy dressing room. And obviously, you know, what I've just said to them in there is stick with it when you get your chance. I've showed there's lads who didn't start at the beginning of the season who are in the side now and they've kept the shirt. As long as they keep doing it, that's all you can ask for. But like I say, the result today, it's another $2,000
or what
have you in the bank. But it keeps us on that roll again. We're 6 unbeaten now. So it keeps that momentum going. So that's what we're looking to try and build and see how long we can keep that going for and how far through the season it takes us.
A big thank you there to Leeketown TV on YouTube. Next up for Leeketown, an away trip to St Ives Town.
Ooh. That's going to be a long, long one for them there. But even then, I reckon we'll have a good go at that one.
I think Leek's got a good chance, to be honest. One of the other big results on Saturday's FA Trophy was obviously that Rushden Diamond result as well. 1-0 beating Colville Town. Next up for Rushden Diamonds is a home trip to Lincoln United. But let's hear what manager Andy Peakes had to say after that superb victory there for Rushden Diamonds.
Now here with very delighted Andy Peakes, no doubt, after another great cup win for the Diamonds.
Yeah, delighted. Thought we had a good chance if we played to our capabilities. But yeah, pleased to go through, mate.
Let's start before kick-off. You made some changes, brought Jack Ashton in, paid the dividends in the end.
Yeah, no, I think Jack's been waiting to get back fit. You know, he's got fit again, he's waiting his time. He's trained well again this week. Jay's come in and played a few games, which he hadn't done a lot of, so I thought it was a good chance to bring him in, and I felt we'd had a little bit. I wasn't particularly expecting him to score the winner, though he has got it in his locker, but yeah, I thought he'd done well.
So, first half, I thought we dominated, really. We had two very good saves from the keeper, and you must be disappointed not to be going in 1-0.
I was disappointed not to be in front. I was disappointed with how we played, to a degree, because I think we can play better than that. I don't think we passed the ball anywhere near as much as I wanted us to, or as well as I want us to. But yeah, we were in control of the game without really scoring, and I felt, you know, a bit learning from last week. When you get chances, I think you need to take them to kill teams off a little bit, and while it was 0-0, they're all feeling they got a chance.
And I think we did have a chance against them, because we played some teams down here in the league, and you know, I thought we had a really good chance in that second half to go on and win it.
Yeah, no, I said to the boys at half-time, I'd watched them this week, and obviously seeing first half today, and I said, you know, they're a league higher than us, and we respect that, but for me, it was an opportunity for us to progress. We're at home, and I feel if we hadn't have gone through, or certainly got a chance of a replay, I think we'd have been disappointed.
And getting worried, because we did miss a couple of more chances, didn't we?
Yeah, no, I thought, you know, I wasn't particularly happy at half-time, and I thought they came out in the second half and did pass it better and played with a lot better tempo and created some chances, got the goal, should have had another goal, which I think would have killed the game. And obviously at 1-0, you know they're going to push on at the end, they know they're going to create a little bit of pressure, and you know it's going to be a little bit, we're going to have to defend well. And I thought we did defend well. They had a couple of long-distance shots, but they didn't actually open us up at all. So, yeah, it was always going to be a bit frenetic at the end because we hadn't got the second goal.
But we always looked dangerous on that break with Jake and with Nap.
Yeah, no, I could see us getting a second. I thought we were unlucky not to. That close, weren't it, to getting the second, which would have made it a lot more pleasurable for all of us. But no, I'm happy.
So Monday into the second round draw, you're not really bothered, are you?
No, I just want to, you know, it's a great competition, isn't it? Because you can go anywhere to a degree. Pit your wits against teams of a higher level. Ideally, we want to be here again, don't we? Or a weekend away somewhere would be great. I'm sure Ralph's going to pay for us all to go somewhere.
Maybe keep winning again the prize.
Absolutely, I'm sure he's going to put it back in, so that'd be nice. But no, it'd be nice to see the draw. Ideally, we'll be at home.
So a good result there for Rushden Diamonds against Colville. Thanks to AFC RDTV on YouTube for that one. Andy Peake's there in confident mood. That's a good result, that, for Rushden Diamonds.
It is indeed, especially because, again, when it comes to the Cups, they've had to play a lot more of the southern sides as well. They've played Lincoln a couple of times already with even results. I think we've both either been draws or win or loss. That will be a very, very close tie, but I think Rushden Diamonds will fancy their chances in that one. Obviously, cup tie is a cup tie. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks' time.
As well as Leeketown and AFC Rushden Diamonds from Division 1 South, the leaders, Charlane, were also in action on Saturday, and they beat Frickle Athletic by 6-2. I caught up with Craig Elliott, the manager at Charlane, just to hear his views on Friday morning. So, Craig Elliott now joins us, manager at Charlane. Congratulations, Craig, on last Saturday's result. I mean, to score 6 goals is very impressive, but to do it against a team one step up is, well, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it were a great result, first and foremost, but sort of to be 2-0 down as well. And you start to think it's not going to be our day, but then sort of we were fantastic from sort of 15 minutes on, and to score 6 goals against a Premier Division team, a league above you, and win so convincingly, and to be honest, we missed a lot of chances as well. It's just a fantastic day for us.
And this season is I think last season was pivotal, but I think this season's really is pivotal for Charlane. The expectation at the club, from an outsider's perspective, it looks like promotion is the main goal this season. What's your expectation been like this season in this opening few months?
Yeah, nothing changes really since I've been at club. We aim to win leagues and do well, and sort of we were unlucky last year. It was first season in the league. We were getting used to it, and I'm proud of what we did last year, to be honest with you. But you're right, this season we sort of want to get promoted and We've made a decent start, so hopefully we can sort of do it this season.
And it's one of them things that we've asked every single Division 1 South manager this season, and you're going to be no different, Craig. This season in Division 1 South is crackers. It's so competitive. Yeah. There's so many big names in there.
I just think it's a good league. I agree with you. I think there's sort of up to 8 or 10 teams that will fancy the chances of getting promoted this year, and it's a really competitive league, and I think that's been shown in sort of trophy results, actually, against sort of northern teams and stuff like that. It's showing what a competitive league it is.
This week's show proves no different. I mean, we've got 3 Division 1 South managers on, and I feel bad for Division 1 North, but it's just the way it's all fallen, really. Shore Lane in the next round of the FA Trophy. It's possibly, I'm going to suggest, it's one of the ties of the round. That game at home to Whitby Town, it's a big one, this.
I think I'd agree with you, to be honest with you. Obviously, as we speak now, we're top of our league, they're top of their league. So we're both doing well this season. And I'm looking forward to it, to be honest with you. Obviously, we're going as underdogs, but Whitby's got great history. So I think it could be a cracking tie, to be honest with you. And I'm looking forward to it already.
Now, what we've ensured this week, Craig, is that we've got you on now to talk about that fixture in a couple of weeks' time. Therefore, the effects of you coming on aren't really there, so you can't blame us, is what we're saying.
All right.
But Craig, seriously, a big congratulations to everyone at the club for last Saturday's result against Frickley. Very impressive, and we wish you all the best in the next round and in the coming months in the league. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, good to speak to you.
And there was another upset, James. Can you believe it? Kendal Town travelling to Stormy Corner. They beat Skelmersdale United by 3-1. And what a result for Matlock Town as well. A 2-1 away win at Spennymoor Town. Superb stuff from Matlock Town. There was also some cracking results for Marine, 4-0 at Hurst Cross. Barwell got a good win as well, as did Kidsgrove. Should say as well, we're gonna cover the replays in a second, but that result, Goole against Blyth on Saturday, outstanding effort by Goole, taking it to a replay, superb stuff. And a big well done to Mickle over Sports, beating Leamington. Pow! Take that, Southern League. So well done to Mickle over Sports. So to replays then, on Tuesday night, there was 3 matches involving Evo Stick sides. Colwyn Bay 1, Witton Albion 1 was Saturday's results there on the north coast of Wales. Went back to Wincham Park, Witton Albion winning by 3-1. So commiserations to Colwyn Bay and congratulations to Witton Albion. Derek Buckley's been in touch to say about that Witton result. We, Witton, are playing well and can go to Belper in a positive mood. So there you go, a bit of Division 1 South action as well for you there in this week's show. Grantham Town, boom! 4-0 at home to Stratford Town. Again, take that, Southern League. And unlucky Goole, 7-1 in the end at Croft Park. Blyth Spartans, 7 Goole 1. We had a correspondence in from a Goole fan with regards to their fixture. We'll cover that off in a second or two. But that's a good opportunity, I feel, to bring in Alan Armstrong, the manager at Blyth Spartans. So we're now joined by making his debut, the manager at Blyth Spartans. It's Alan Armstrong. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Hey, I've been all right. I'm good, thanks.
Congratulations on making it through to the second qualifying round of the FA Trophy. Quite a scare, but a very professional outcome on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was a great performance from the lads. Sad that we knew we were well, we knew we hadn't performed. The pitch didn't suit the type of football we play, but make no excuse, the lads knew that they didn't perform to the capabilities. But I said that to them at full time. And I knew on Tuesday that they were up for it straight from the off, and the way they started the game was absolutely brilliant.
You've been at Croft Park now for a good few weeks now. It was obviously big shoes to fill with Tom Wade. How are you settling in?
I'm settling quite well, to be honest with you. Football is football at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what level you play at. And it was me trying to adapt to the non-professional thing after being involved in professional football for 20, 25 years. Trying to get used to that has been the hard part, but I'm slowly getting a grip with it, dealing with obviously the lads who are at work every day and they've got to come to training, and sometimes they're late for training, late for the games, and there's nothing you can do about that, and that's probably me trying to be a little bit too professional in a way, but I've got to understand that they've got another livelihood on the outside of this.
That was going to be my question, because I had it the other way, that, you know, you come from an academy background and managing a first team. Is there much of a difference with regards to that transition?
There is, in a way, because obviously when you're in the academy, it's all about development. It's all about development players, and I still do that, obviously, with my own centre. I still coach the young ones all the way through, from under-7 all the way up to under-14, 15, and keep working on them. But in that, you're just working on the individual, and you're not bothered about results or anything like that. All you're looking for is an improvement in that individual. All that matters is the 3 points and the win. So the mentality changes. It's basically a win at all costs, but you still want to play the good football. So hopefully we can get the balance right of playing good football and getting the win.
Now, form is obviously very, very important for Blyth Spartans. I'm assuming that the aim this season for Blyth Spartans is promotion. And the last few games, the results have been excellent, really, in the league with regards to victories over Stourbridge and Ilkeston and a cracking result against Hensford Town. What's your expectations this season with regards to Blyth Spartans? Where do you want them to finish?
The reason I come in is because that was my ambition. I spoke, it was Tom Wade who rang us, asked us if I would be interested. And I knew they missed out last year. I think they missed out with 99 points last year.
They did, yes.
Unbelievable. Probably never be done again. But the ambition of the club's there to get promoted. The club's ready for it. And we've got a good squad of players here. And my ambition is to get promoted. At the end of the day, I want to win as many football matches as I can and see where we are. But my ambition is to get promoted. I haven't come here just to play in the season. I've come here to take Blyth Spartans a step further, and hopefully I can do that.
And it's a tricky match this weekend, our away trip to Barwell. What are you expecting?
It's going to be exactly the same as every other game we've played, where it's going to be really tough. The teams are going to be compact against her, and it'll be really hard to break down. And we've got to try and do that. We've got to try and win as many football games as we can, but every game you play in this league, whether you're playing the team below or the team above, it's exactly the same. It's really tough, and you've got to be up for it. Yes, we might have good technical footballers, but I've said it to the lads time and time again, if you didn't put the work ethic in, you didn't get the result. And at the end of the day, if we keep doing that, we'll be fine. But there will be some games where they didn't get the rub of the green, don't get us wrong, but all I ask for them is to give 100% in every game, work as hard as it possibly can, and have no regrets, and I'm sure the ability will come through in the end.
Well, Alan Armstrong, manager at Blyth Spartans, congratulations on your appointment, and congratulations for the last month or so in the league, and good luck for the rest of the season.
That's brilliant. Thanks a lot, Ben.
So Alan Armstrong there, manager at Blyth Spartans, I spoke to him on Wednesday. Obviously a very good result that against Goole. Just a quick mention for Goole. We mentioned that result on Saturday, a superb effort. It was always going to be tricky in the replay. George Geldard has been in touch to say, even after a heavy defeat last night against the best team I have seen in the last 3 years, Blyth Spartans, who should be playing at a lot higher level, and he reckons that Goole should win at home to Cone this Saturday. So a bit of Division 1 North for you there as well. But a good effort by Goole in that one. So that's the FA Trophy. We will be previewing the second qualifying round on next week's show, but there's some very interesting ties to come in the FA Trophy. But a good spread got through to the next round, James.
Indeed so. And again, obviously, a lot of the ties are all NPL v NPL. I mean, there will be at this point, because the Conference North don't come until the later rounds. And then obviously you've got the Southern League sides trying to take out those a bit further down. So again, like Rushden and Diamonds, for example. So it's how many we can get through to the first round properly against the Conference North side, and obviously when the Conference comes in, and see what we can do from there on in.
Right, we're going to be covering off Tuesday night's league matches in a second, but just before we get to Cockers for Tuesday night, just a quick mention for Monday. Later on in the show, we're going to be previewing the FA Cup, and we're going to be speaking to Adam Parks at Black Country Radio. But a good result for Stourbridge on Monday night in front of 486 supporters, beating Corby by 1-0. Steadying the ship there for Stourbridge after Saturday's FA Trophy defeat. While Hensford Town, well, they put a marker down, haven't they? Beating Sutton Coldfield 4-1 at home. Here's Liam McDonald speaking to Hensford Town TV after the match.
The second win in the same month against Sutton, you must be pleased with the performance today.
Yeah, I was. I thought we started off very slow. I know we were a little bit nervous in our play to start with, and Sutton sort of got a foothold in the game, and obviously we scored the own goal, and I sort of said to them at half time, I just need to stay patient, because I think that's probably one of the worst first half performances we've had this season. It's up there with probably Nantwich. And I think it weren't down to Sutton being good, it was down to us being that bad. We didn't sort of have any flow to the game, and obviously with them getting a goal and trying to slow it down and waste time, it sort of stopped our flow. But I sort of said to them at half time, what we need to do now is be positive in getting the ball down to play and be a bit more creative, because I felt our creative players went missing first half. You know, we should have been 3-0 up within probably 15-20 minutes, and we find ourselves a goal down, and it's something that, you know, the players know it's out on the board. You know, taking chances is important, and we create enough. And I think at half time we sort of just said, if we can limit them to you know, we looked at the way they set up, and they were positive in playing with two up top, and it surprised us a little bit. And second half, knowing that they had the two up top, we knew the areas we could exploit, and we went and created a lot of overloads, and we dominated for most of it, and we were as good as what we've been earlier on in the season in terms of our pace and power, and we attacked in numbers and scored some fantastic goals. And you know, it was pleasing, because obviously it's two wins against them now, you know, got us 6 points, so the players are pleased, they've worked hard. It's been sort of, like I say, it's one of those nights where I just said, if we want to be at the top, we've got to go out and win today, because we knew that obviously they had a good result against Stourbridge a few weeks ago, where, no, you know, it probably weren't on the cards. So it can happen in this league, and you know, a good 45 minutes has blown them away, and it's you know, I'm pleased with it. The players are pleased, and we move on to Saturday now.
So looking ahead, what are your thoughts going into the Grantham game?
Again, it's going to be another tough game. It'll be a different game from tonight. They're young side and got pace in the right areas, and it's going to be a test for us. And you know, we're stressing to the players now. We need to go on a winning run. And I said at half time, we don't need an unbeaten run, because I always felt we were going to score goals second half. It's more so a winning run. And you know, there was a lot to pick out. There was a lot of things that went wrong first half today. And they've gone out and stuck to the plan second half. And I just think Saturday we've got to go out and now do the same. Be on the front foot, start better than we did today, and if we can, you know, put in the performance that we have done over the last three games, say three, four games, it will give us a great opportunity of keeping that winning run rather than just an unbeaten one.
Over, what's your thoughts about this month in October? Are you happy with it? Could it be better?
Yeah, it's look, we're unbeaten and we're doing well, but on the flip side, we've lost a couple of games which are one too many for me. I think I look back at Barwell and think, you know, we've not turned up. I know it was, you know, people, a neutral will probably say that we didn't deserve to lose, but we did, and we just never turned up. And Blythe, you know, it's a sloppy goal, and obviously the sending off, which we felt were harsh against Bucks. And so we've turned it around. In my, I said to the players, we needed to win tonight to make, you know, the losses that we've had over the last sort of month and a half, sort of, because I felt we were short on a few points. And but today they've gone out and done well, and again, positive, we've conceded and we've gone and dug in and got a goal when we weren't playing too well. And I think if we can score goals when we're not properly at it, there's going to be a stage when we are, and like I say, you've seen, you know, we've scored goal after goal tonight, and they've come in short succession.
So thank you to Hensford Town TV and Tollman Videos there for that interview with Liam McDonald. Hensford, they're moving up to fourth position in the league. Good stuff for them. We mentioned Grantham Town as well. Hensford play Grantham Town this weekend, so that's going to be an interesting tie-off there. But just to say, it's been a bit of an iffy week for Sutton Coldfield Town, and I felt obliged to invite Neil Tufon to hear his views on Sutton Coldfield. So here's what Neil had to say on Thursday afternoon. So obviously it's been, an interesting week at Sutton Coldfield Town. And joining me now is the manager, it's Neil Tufon. Hello Neil, how are you?
I'm fine, by yourself?
I'm all good. Well, welcome back to the show. It has been a difficult week, but what's your thoughts on where Sutton Coldfield are at the moment?
It's going to be a difficult season. We're under no illusions. You know what I mean? We probably overachieved last season. And we always knew that the second season was going to be a lot more difficult, but we're not cut adrift. I suppose we need to finish top of the mini league we've got down the bottom of the league, if you like. And the games against Hensford, if we pick up any points in that, that's a bonus as far as we're concerned. You know what I mean? They're a very good side. You know what I mean? They were better than us on the night, so we didn't deserve to get anything out of the game. But they're not the, silly as it sounds, they're not the games that are really crucial to our survival.
You're right with regards to that. I mean, you had a good result before the Hensford Town match against Ashton United, but you pulled out some cracking victories as well with the likes of Stourbridge too. So there is a good team there, isn't there?
The Stourbridge, everything worked for us on that night. You know what I mean? We did play well. It was one of our better performances, but we had a man sent off early in the second half, and as silly as it sounds, it was exactly what we needed because it galvanised us and it made, you know, I mean, the lads realised that they had no choice but to work really hard, and it worked for us, and we rode our luck a little bit at times. But yeah, we need to pick up, you know what I mean? I don't think we're yet in a position where we can look at five or six games and we can say, right, you know what I mean, there's three games there that we can win on the bounce. We've got to pick points up where we can. You know what I mean? The squad needs to get better. We're not anywhere near where we need to be. We're under no illusions about that. We know that we need to bring in some better quality players if we can. But it's difficult when you're down there. But there's no white flag, there's no white smoke, if you like, coming up from us just yet. We're well in touch, we're not being cut adrift, and we'll keep fighting for as long as we need to.
And Buxton this weekend, there's easier places to go to. What are you expecting?
What am I expecting? I don't know. Is the honest answer. I don't know what I'm getting from game to game. Listen, they're doing well. You know what I mean? They've started really well. They're up there. They're always a strong Northern League outfit, and I've had a great start to the season. So it'll be another tough test for us. But every game is. You know what I mean? The position that we're in, every single game is. And as I said to someone up at Leek on Saturday, when using the Division 1 South, you could look at a run of games and you could say, OK, there's three or four fixtures there where we're capable of winning all four of those on the bounce. You can't do that in this league, you know what I mean? And it's even when you're playing the sides down the bottom of the league like last year, it's very difficult to say, to pinpoint where your points are going to come from. You've just got to make sure that your preparation's right and do everything you can to make sure you set up on the day to try and get what you can. But it'll be difficult. Every game's difficult for us at the moment. But as I say, we just got to keep rolling with it and see what we can get from it.
The Sutton Coldfield Town Ultras are amazing. And last season was a brilliant display by Sutton Coldfield Town. What's your expectation then in the second half of the season? You are, as you mentioned, well within touching distance of getting out of that relegation zone. What are the bright spots that are coming down the track for Sutton Coldfield?
First of all, our fans are fantastic. You know what I mean? They get rightly so the plaudits that they deserve. It's not easy being a Sutton fan. You know what I mean? As well as being the manager, I live in Sutton Coldfield. You know what I mean? My lad goes to school in Sutton Coldfield, so you speak to Sutton Coldfield people, and it's not easy. You know what I mean? We've got the Villa and the Blues, West Brom, Walsall, Wolves, all big clubs that are on our doorstep, but our fans are superb. You know what I mean? They stick with us. They're getting more and more fans and more and more plaudits wherever we go. I just hope that Buxton allow the trumpet and the drum in there tomorrow, because they didn't allow it last year, and I mean they're harmless. You know what I mean? They don't cause any problem. You know what I mean? It's all good natured banter.
Hey Neil, let me tell you something. I'm an FC United fan. I remember at Buxton when you used to have pigs' heads thrown on the pitch. So don't let them not accept drums into the ground. Anyway,
unfortunately, it's a bit difficult to smuggle under your jumper, though, isn't it?
That is true.
But looking forward to the rest of the season, mate. We just got to pick up as many points as we can. You know what I mean? There's no great rocket science, so we make no mistake, we're determined to stay in this league. You know what I mean? We had a taste of it last year, although we're struggling this year. this is where we want to be, and we'll do everything we can to make sure that we stay in the league. It's not going to be pretty. As I've said to a few of the supporters, it's probably going to get a little bit worse before it gets a lot better, but we're doing everything we can, you know what I mean? And we've got a good set of fans, you know what I mean? We've got honest players that want to get out of the relegation zone. They don't enjoy being down there. They know that we can perform better. Myself and my staff will be working hard, and I've got a chairman, thankfully, that's supportive and hasn't given me the vote of confidence just yet. So hopefully I'll be around to see it through.
Well, you've done the wise thing, Neil, coming on the show, because we're having a good effect on some teams who come on the show, especially Stafford Rangers, who've been on a winning streak ever since they came on. So hopefully that'll translate to Sutton Coldfield Town on the pitch. And Neil, thank you for taking the time out. I know it's been difficult this week, but thank you for coming on, and I wish you all the best of luck getting out of that relegation zone.
My pleasure, Ben. Thanks for your call, man. Cheers.
Neil Tooth there, manager at Sutton Coldfield. They are hopeful.
They are indeed. I mean, you look at the last couple of weeks for them as well. They've not exactly been on the wrong end of results, if that makes sense. Okay, they are getting beat, but it's not as heavy as people have thought. But it's the defeat. Again, they are still losing a lot of games at this moment in time. The next couple of games are going to be crucial for them. The downside is they're all away, and they're against teams in the top half, or the last week of the month, Ilkeston away as well in midweek.
Well, it's Buxton this weekend, and away at Silverlands. It's an interesting one this weekend, because obviously Buxton, I won't ruin it for everyone, but Buxton need to bounce back. Anyway, enough about Monday night. Let's draw our eyes now to Tuesday. And for all the results from Tuesday night in the Evo Stick NPL Premier Division, it's now time to hand back over to Cockers. Cockers!
Thanks, Ben. And with the top two not in action on Tuesday night, it was a chance for the Chasing Pack to make up ground. And Rushall Olympic did just that. The Picks won 2-0 at lowly Ilkeston FC to move level on points with second place Blyth Spartans and to within a point of leaders Whitby Town. Buxton, however, missed the chance to go to the top of the table when they were beaten 1-0 at the Weaver Stadium by mid-table Nantwich Town. Spennymoor Town, with games in hand, moved to within 3 points of the top five after seeing off Workington AFC 4-1 in the A66 derby at the Brewery Field. Ashton United failed to put pressure on the top five when they were beaten comprehensively at Hurst Cross by Marine AFC by 4-1. That defeat allowed Matlock Town to move above Ashton and level on points with Spennymoor after winning 2-1 against Barwell at Causeway Lane. Elsewhere, a Michelover Sports were looking to move into sixth spot when they entertained lowly Colville Town on Tuesday, however Colville won by 2-1. And finally, a crowd of 524 saw Stafford Rangers beat Hales Owen Town 3-1 at Marston Road. And that's all of Tuesday's action in the Evo Stick Northern Premier League Premier Division. Back over to you, Ben.
Cockers there with all the results from Tuesday night. So Whitby are still leading, which is quite a turn of events considering they've not kicked a ball. So Whitby Town still out in front. Blyth Spartans, as we alluded to earlier, are now in second position, 1 point behind. Rushall Olympic, there or thereabouts. They're in third position now. They play Skelmersdale United this weekend. Hensford Town, as we said earlier, they're in fourth position. Buxton, though, 1-0 win for Nantwich Town against Buxton at the Weaver Stadium. Here's the lovely Johnny Crowther speaking to Nantwich Town's manager Phil Parkinson after that victory there for Nantwich.
So I'm with manager Phil Parkinson. Phil, it's finished Nantwich Town 1, Buxton 0. Outstanding performance against a real high-quality Buck side.
Yeah, definitely. I was just speaking earlier saying how I think they've really improved from last year. I feel they play a little bit more football than they did last year. And it made for a real interesting game, because I felt first half there wasn't a great deal in it. I think Dave's made a decent save, and I feel their defenders made a good block. I thought it was a bit scrappy, not a great deal in it. I felt we edged it possession wise, but any possession means nothing if you don't do anything with it. And then we had a little pep talk at half time, and the lads really took on board what we said. And
what did you say? Because it's interesting, because I thought, just coming back to that point, I think it's an important one. First half, I thought they pressed us a lot, and I think you've had a word with them at half-time.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I said they were imposing themselves on us more than we were on them. I said to some of my key players, you've got to start giving them something to think about, because I feel that they're giving you more to think about than vice versa. And I said, you do need to press them more. You need to. We're at home, we need to push on more, take, not risks, but back your own ability, calculated decisions. And I felt we really did that. I mean, Theo was a prime example, and I've took him off, to be fair, but I thought he was miles better second half. Yeah. But I just fancied Ryan today. I fancied Ryan against that smaller fullback to sort of maybe get on the end of something or do what he's done there, turn him and get that shot away. And he did, so it paid off. But I just felt overall we definitely deserved to sort of win the game, even though there wasn't a great deal in it. I know they'll probably say, you've had one shot. Well, we've had two in the end. We should have won 2-0. But they've only had one and not really troubled us a great deal. They've had a little bit of possession, probably 5-10 minute spells, but I think we've had the lion's share. And it is a bitter pill to swallow. We were here last year with them where they just parked the bus and really had one attempt where a lad's probably travelled 40 yards, created something out of nothing, and they beat us 1-0. That was really tough for us to take with the domination we had. But listen, that's football. We really respect what Buxton do. As I said, massive compliment to them. I think they've really improved on last year. They've had a great run so far. They're going to be up there without a shadow of a doubt. I can't see them dropping away this year like they did last year. I think they've got too much quality for that, and the work ethic's there.
And probably one of the best sides I've seen in the season.
Definitely. And you can tell that the managers have got a strong work ethic with the lads, and that's really hurt them. I can tell looking at them, but it hurt me last year when they beat us. We're competitive people, but they've got that bit about them where they'll get the lads and they'll galvanise them, and I'm sure they'll go on again. But what's that now? One defeat in 15 for us, so we're absolutely extremely pleased with where we're at the moment. Can't wait for the next game to come. I was really confident tonight. It felt a little bit like I did at Stourbridge because we were really confident. So I was thinking, is this going to come down around my ears now? But I thought the lads were, their application and the bravery, I keep saying it, my lads' bravery and the work ethic this year has been outstanding to play. When other teams won't do that. They'll play percentage football, and what we ask the lads to do is something different. We ask them to get it from the back. We ask them to work the ball. We ask them to stick to what we ask them to do, even when the crowd are getting on the cases. Because that's the way we win games. I was saying earlier, people come up to me all the time saying, I know how we've beaten Antwich Town. I do this, that and the other. And I'm still waiting for someone to consistently do it against me. So we'll stick to what we're doing. And if I keep getting beat, then maybe I'll reconsider what I'm doing. But we really firmly believe in the squad, everything we do here. The club, it's so important that I get the backing of the board as well, because it's hard if they don't agree what I'm doing, because it is hearts in the mouth time sometimes, because people aren't used to seeing lads get the ball, play a few passes and work it out. They're used to seeing lads get it from deep and punt it into a forward and then get round the ball. But we're not going to win many games like that because of the lads we've got, and I couldn't bear watching that, to be honest. So it's just going back to the game, getting off track a bit here. It's a fantastic fantastic performance, a great win for Nantwich Town. Any time you beat Buxton is a great win, and it sets us up nicely for where we want to be. I think we move up to about 8th or 9th or something like that now, so we're steadily chugging along, as your friends on the Evo Boom said.
Absolutely, and we've still got a few games in hand as well.
That's it, yeah, so we'll keep trying to do the right things, and like I say, if we can keep taking points off them teams who are above us currently, as I said, Rushall, Buxton, Hensford, people like that, if we can take points off them, especially at home. We've obviously, people keep banging on about the home form. We had a bad 3 games with regards to results, but in general our performances have been great, and you can see that now. It's really coming into fruition, the fact that we haven't panicked, we haven't changed what we're doing when others would. We've stuck to what we believe in, and it's paying off. We're winning games, and we're doing the right things.
Stuff. Well done, Phil. Let's go and get a hot chocolate now.
Oh, yes.
Nice one, mate.
Oh, a hot chocolate sounds like a good idea, James. Lovely stuff. That there was Johnny Crowther speaking to Phil Parkinson, the Nantwich Town manager. So a big thank you to Johnny and Redshift Radio for that clip. So a good result that for Nantwich, but not a good result for Buxton. Thoughts, James?
No, we all said that it was going to come to a point where Buxton needed to prove, have they got the mentality to stay at the top end of the table. They keep doing it season in, season out. And it's always at this time of year that they start to slip away, either because of the weather and the fixtures piling up later in the season, or they just lose that bit of form. they've got Sutton Coldfield this weekend. That's going to be massively crucial.
Matt Joyce from Buxton's perspective, if Buxton don't beat Sutton at home, then the slide is definitely on. A very poor show at the Dabber Dome, or don't use that term, Joyce, at the Dabber Dome on Tuesday night. Sick of going on about it, but he needs a hitman up front ASAP. So, Joyce does seem to be hinting that Buxton do need a striker. And that's Joyce has been making that point now for the last few weeks. The Nantwich result against Buxton, I think, was quite a result midweek. A cracking performance by Nantwich Town. However, I'm going to mention Hurst Cross. Ashton United 1, Marine 4. Obviously, the pair of them played each other on Saturday. And in that game, it finished 4-0 to Marine. 8 goals for Marine in the last 2 games. Quite a week for them, hasn't it, James? It's been quite a week.
Yeah, well, they've played each other. I think it's like the 4th time we've played each other this season now. Again, they meet at the end of this month as well. We said last week as well, Marine had to start picking up the points somewhere, and a great, fantastic win for them.
Now, that result sees Marine into 13th position. Michael J. Holland says on the Facebook group, good week so far for Marine, knocking out Ashton United in the FA Trophy 4-0 at Hurst Cross, then beating the same team in the league on Tuesday night 4-1. Ilkeston at home on Saturday, so hopefully another 3 points. Going to be that match could go either way, to be fair, the way Marine and Ilkeston are playing at the moment. But just to highlight some other matches which are taking place, Whitby Town will be hosting Matlock Town on Saturday. Andrew Snape from Whitby Town Radio has been in touch to say, a tough one for Whitby, with in-form Matlock at the Turnbull Ground, just loving every second of supporting the league leaders. So there you go. Matlock, though, they beat Barwell on Tuesday night, and Matlock are now in 7th, banging on the door now of the playoff positions.
Yeah, Matlock only lost 1 in the last 8 games, so again, 2 of the on-form teams in the league at this moment will be going up there to have a good match, and it'd be a fantastic game to see. It's nice to see Matlock having a go, because they were a team a couple of years ago who were always fighting, go back 10 years, who were going for the playoff spots in the Premier, but it just seems to have slipped away.
So, Matlock are in 7th. 8, as we mentioned, is Ashton United. This weekend, Ashton United are hosting Micklover Sports. Micklover Sports are on the same number of points now in 9th position. Warrington Town, they're currently in 10th position. Obviously, we spoke to the new management team last week. And Warrington are travelling to Stafford Rangers on Saturday. Lloyd Berry has said that Warrington need to get 3 points against Stafford this weekend.
Stafford Rangers are starting to become the team we expected them to be earlier. And
they're banging form, aren't they? 3-1 against Hales Owen, beating Workington, beating Colville, beating Marine. Literally ever since I interviewed Mr. Kitching, ever since I interviewed him, James, Stafford have been on a roll. Yeah. And you're welcome. You're welcome, Stafford Rangers.
Another home game, Stafford. He's just going to be wanting to need to up the game a little bit on Saturday, I think.
We've had the piece of correspondence in from a Warrington perspective. Jason Coombe has been in touch from Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers to try and beat Warrington to make it 5 on the bounce in the league. So that's from Stafford Rangers. Who's next? Who's next on my list of teams to talk about? Frickle Athletic, they're hosting Nantwich Town. Frickle Athletic clinging on there in touching distance of getting themselves out of the relegation zone. What about Corby Town? Corby Town are travelling to Workington this weekend, and Workington are starting to drop a bit.
It's going to be a 0-0. It's going to be this game written all over it, I'm afraid. Both teams an opportunity just to try and get away from it. It means more for Corby than it does for Workington, but both teams, in the positions they are at the moment, just need to get on the forward themselves again there.
Rush Olympic against Skelmersdale United.
As I touched on it a second ago, Skelmersdale, they need to get something just to get out of the rut. I mean, I think they got knocked out the Liverpool County Cup last night just to focus on the league form. But again, look at the next 3 games there. Rush Hall, Stourbridge and Hales are in for 3 teams that are doing quite well in the league. It's going to be a tough ask. With the new assistant manager in the form of Mr. Tony Sullivan, who got Camel led to the playoff final in First Division 3 years ago. Both managers know what it's like to be in a situation now.
And lastly, for Saturday, Hales Owen Town against Colville Town, and the Yelps fans have been out in force on the NPL Facebook group. First, Tim Bullock Hales Owen are reunited with our old sparring partners Colville at the Grove. Not an easy fixture, but I expect the Elts to come out on top. And also we've had Josh Roberts in touch. Yelts at home to struggling Colville. I'm expecting us to bounce back after last night's defeat and win well. And lastly, it's Sam Hodgson. Hopefully, after what I saw away in Rushall last Saturday, Hales Owen can bounce back from Tuesday's defeat with 3 points at home to Colville this weekend. Just to say, though, one of those pieces of correspondence mentioned Colville was struggling. They did win. And they did win good. They beat Michelover Sports midweek, didn't they? So it's not a foregone conclusion, this, for Hales Owen.
It's not yet, no. But Colville's win last night was the first in 11 games for him. Colville had a fantastic the first 4 weeks where they looked like they could have been competing for the playoffs.
So that's the league done and dusted. But, you know, no disrespect to the vast majority of, in fact, all 22 of you who are involved in the league and not the FA Cup. But this weekend, there is some big FA Cup matches taking place involving two NPL Premier Division sides and one plucky side from Division 1 South. We're going to bang out the interviews now, one after another, and starting in alphabetical order, it's this mammoth one here. It's MK Dons against Spennymoor Town. So, to talk about this magnificent big match, which should be on telly. I think everyone knows that. MK Dons against Spennymoor Town. Joining us is the cameraman from Spennymoor Town FC on YouTube. It's Spenny Fan Chris. Hello, Chris. How's things?
I'm all right, Ben. How are you?
I'm not too bad. We should say, dear listener, Chris is a bit poorly at the minute, so he might not be as giddy as he sounds, but inside, you're screaming, aren't you, Chris? Let's be honest.
I'm excited, definitely.
You've followed Spennymoor Town for years. Now, is this the biggest match in Spennymoor Town's history?
Definitely. Well, since the Vars victory at Wembley Stadium, this is definitely one of the biggest.
What's it been like following Spennymoor Town from the Northern League to FA Vars success to climbing up to this third step in the non-league pyramid? What's it been like following the club?
It's been hard work behind the scenes, players on the field, fans have been coming supporting the club since starting 2005, really. It's been up and up, really.
And at the start of the season, we mentioned it on the NPL show, the intent made by Jason Ainsley with some of the signings and all the off-field stuff that went on towards the end of last season and into this season. It is a club on the up. What were your expectations as a supporter and a volunteer? What was your expectations at the start of the season?
The start of the season for me is just basically being up there at the top half of the table, really.
And Jason Ainsley is current, and all the players are currently doing that for you. Obviously, there's the games in hand aspect coming into play now. But first round of the FA Cup as well. Were you expecting that?
No way in the slightest. I didn't think we'd get that far compared to what we did against Telford before. Getting the fourth round proper and being on the actual draw, that was brilliant. So, but getting the first round proper is even better.
Absolutely. This weekend, then on Saturday, a trip down to Milton Keynes to play MK Dons. What are you expecting? I don't want to jinx it for you, but I've already said this for a number of weeks now. Spending more time, I've got a good chance here. A good chance. What do you think?
It's the Magic FA Cup, as this cliche says. Anything can happen. They haven't won since March at home, so we're going in with good form. Tuesday night was a good victory against Workington. Never know what Saturday's going to expect.
And just a quick plug as well for Spennymoor Town FC on YouTube. Do all the camera work. It's a great YouTube channel because you don't just do the match day highlights. You also do post match interviews with both sets of clubs as well on occasion. How can people follow the YouTube channel?
YouTube.com/SpennymoorTownFC.
On behalf of all the listeners, Chris, you're representing the club on this week's show. Just to say, on behalf of all the listeners, we wish you, all your fellow supporters, everyone associated with Spennymoor Town, the best of luck this weekend. I don't particularly like MK Dons anyway, but even more so, just for flying the flag for the Northern Premier League, good luck, and we hope you're in the hat on Monday evening.
Thanks very much, Ben. Really appreciate it.
So, Spenny fan Chris there, joining us from Spennymoor Town. Next up, it's this one here, Whitehawk against Stourbridge. And where should we go to hear the preview for this fixture, let's go to Adam Parks at Black Country Radio.
Absolute pleasure to be back with you, Ben.
So, this weekend, this is a big deal, this, and I think, I don't want to jinx it for Stourbridge, but quite winnable, that I've said it.
I think when the FA Cup draw was made a couple of weeks ago, sort of everybody's heart sort of slumped a little bit. But then you look at it again, you think, well, actually, it's a means to an end. It's a winnable game. And then who knows, even if you get a draw and bring them back to Stourbridge, you're going to be in the hat for the second round proper. And then the incentive is certainly there, particularly if you get drawn against a league club in the second round. So it's a blessing in disguise, I think, this particular draw is.
White Hart last season had a decent FA Cup run. I think they got to the second round. It might have even been the third round eventually. But as I was saying to Roy Sewell last week, they're not Dover and they're not Kidderminster. And Stourbridge have been here before. And you've been on the scene now for Stourbridge for years. Is there magic in the air for the FA Cup this season, once again, like it was last season?
That's a tough one to call. Probably not quite as much, I would say, just because of the draw that's been made and the fact that it is Whitehawk. It's not a Plymouth Argyle or a Stevenage from who Stourbridge have had in previous seasons. I think it does make a big difference having a league club or even a Dover Athletic or an Eastleigh from the National League. So it's not the most appetising of the games, but I think a lot of fans will go down. It's at the seaside. It's down on the coast in Brighton. A lot of people, I think, will make a weekend of it. And I'm sure that Stourbridge will have a lot of support for the game.
Just finally, with regards to form going into this, the form in the league is obviously affected by the cup run. You can't escape it, really. The Corby Town result is welcome, though, on Monday night, wasn't it, after the Kingsland Town defeat on Saturday?
Yeah, I saw the game on Monday. They had a lot of possession, the Glass Boys did. Didn't really look like scoring. And the goal did come late on from a header. It was a vital 3 points. It'll lift the spirits. The problem Stourbridge have had is that they've had an awful lot of away games and a lot of travelling already this season. They've not played too many games at home. And you're right, the cup run does make a difference. But really, when you're at that kind of level, it shouldn't be so inconsistent week in, week out. They're excellent in the fourth qualifying round against Nantwich, but their league form since has been a little bit on the poor side. I would expect them to go on and win this weekend down on the south coast, but they need a little bit more consistency, certainly, in the league.
And where's the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on in this match? It's in Sussex, isn't it? It is Sussex.
It's right on the Brighton coast, but it's just up the road from Brighton Marina. So, we'll have coverage. I'm going down there on Saturday to cover the game for Black Country Radio. You can listen, if you're in the West Midlands, on 102.5 FM, in the Birmingham area on DAB, and also online at www.blackcountryradio.co.uk. And on Friday evening, in our preview show from 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by Gary Hackett live from Brighton. And incidentally, we'll also be joined by Colin Gordon, the chairman of Kidderminster Harriers. Of course, they're in action on Sunday afternoon up at Blackpool. And that's an interesting one because obviously it looks like Blackpool supporters aren't turning out to support their club. So it'd be an interesting one to see what happens on Sunday. I think that's a winnable game for Kiddie Harris. If there's a league side which could potentially be dumped out of the cup this weekend, it could be Blackpool. And I think it will be at the hands of Kidderminster Harriers. Certainly everything is off the pitch is in their favour.
Well, Adam Parks from Black Country Radio, big good luck this weekend with the broadcast. On behalf of the listeners, to everyone from Stourbridge, we hope you win and you get through to the next round. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
And lastly, for the first round proper of the FA Cup on Sunday afternoon, Hartlepool United hosting our very own Stamford. Where should we go to, James, for view on Stamford? Where should we go?
Well, the guy who sends us the beer, Mr. Stampy, of course.
Bob on. Let's hear from Stampy. So, welcome to the show, Stampy, the world-famous Stampy. Hello, Stampy, how's things?
Hiya, Ben. I'm all right. How are you?
Still waiting for the beer. Still waiting for the beer. But
I know.
I'm joking. Hartlepool United this Sunday. I think I'm right in saying the biggest game in Stamford's history. Is that overselling it?
Not really, no, because it's the first time the club have ever got to the first round proper in their 120-odd year history. So the town is going absolutely wild for it.
And this is good, isn't it? Because obviously the last couple of seasons it's been a bit iffy for Stamford. There's been obviously some high points with the new stadium. The match against Wrexham, yep. I think the stadium's came into its own really, and now the town's
there for that.
And now the town's behind the club as well. It's happy days.
It is, yes, indeed.
What's been your expectations for this season? I mean, speaking to the chairman and Graham in the past, promotion was the expectation for the club. Was that your expectation as a humble supporter?
Yeah, you know, as long as we do well this season, I'm happy. You know, promotion's a bonus.
And were you expecting a cup run as well? Would you have taken the fourth qualifying round, let alone the first? It's just greedy of you, I think, Stamper.
Yeah. We'd have took the fourth, you know. But, you know, unfortunately, I had to miss the replay at Wrexham. I'm sat there listening to it on the radio. I'm thinking, come on. And then we get the winner. I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Were you listening to it on Radio Wales? Was that the
Yeah.
The commentary team were so sure, weren't they, of Wrexham winning that game?
Everything was Wrexham. Oh, Stamford have got the ball. Oh no, Wrexham this, Wrexham that. But
I hope it made you appreciate FCUM Radio a bit more with the commentary stuff.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. There's no bias on there.
So this weekend, then Hartlepool United, you're going up there to see Jeff Stelling and the rest of the team up there. What are you expecting, or are you just expecting nothing really, and just going with it?
I'm just going with it. You know, take what we get. You know, if we come back with a draw, I'll be happy, and then we'll have to fight for space in the car park again at Borderville. For the replay.
Well, Stampy, what time are you setting off on Sunday?
I believe the coaches leave 9 o'clock.
So you're going to be on the coach, front seat, I hope.
Yeah.
And
we'll try.
On behalf of all the listeners, I mean,
I've got to look after Danny the Lion, apparently, our new mascot.
Who's Danny the Lion?
Yeah, we've actually got a new mascot. Apparently, he was found wandering the hills behind Borderville. It's the local lion.
Is this like a Hereford thing? Is it an actual real lion? Or is it just...
No, it's not. It's not a real lion.
Oh, that's a shame. No, because I was going to say the last time I was at your place, we had a streaker. So I think anything's possible at the Zico.
Yeah, well, we did tell you not to drink the Hansen's Field too much.
That's right. I took your advice, but one spectator did not and decided to run on a hill. Wearing nothing.
He did, yes.
Which was
I
nice.
Do remember that, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Stamper, big good luck this weekend. On behalf of all the listeners, we wish you, Graham Jury, everyone at the coaching staff and the players and everyone at the club, all the volunteers, a wonderful afternoon in Hartlepool. And we hope you come back knowing that you're going to be in the second round on Monday.
Yeah, let's hope so.
So, three big FA Cup matches. Seriously, on behalf of all the listeners, everyone involved with the MPL show, on behalf of everyone at the league, all the clubs in the MPL Premier Division, we really hope that all three of you play a blinder this weekend and make it through to the second round. James, your closing thoughts.
Two of them are definitely going through. I think the Stamford game, Stamford have got to come out the blocks and fight there, because we've seen what Hartlepool did to Salford last year.
Salford? Don't be that guy. You're not from the South. It's Salford. Salford.
I did say Salford.
No, you said Salford. Don't be that guy. Yeah.
Stamford have got to come out the blocks away at Victoria Park just to prove a point. But Jeff Stelling's not been in touch, so come on, Stamford, let's have him.
There you go. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you for joining us this week on this action-packed Evo Stick Extra. Wall of Correspondence is coming up next. James, how could people get in touch with the Wall of Correspondence as well as all the other bits and bobs of banter that goes on over on Facebook?
At facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter @the MPL group/we stuffed you Berkey last night 4-0. How fat.
This bullying of Berkey has to stop. It's too much. Anyway, James Hayes, thank you for joining us, and you have a lovely week.
Cheers, man.
Well, that's nearly it for this week's show, but just enough time, ever so slightly, we are squeezing it in, but just enough time to go through some of your correspondence from this week's NPL Facebook group. From a Hyde United perspective, we're going to start with Division 1 North. The Rothwells have been in touch. Not confident for our away game at Farsley. Know we have a win in us against a good team. Just have to work hard to get it. And George Rothwell, even though not expecting a win at Farsley, a better performance will be a start. I do like the way George and Thomas are communicating on Facebook. That should be welcomed. John Booth, hoping and praying that Mr. Hyde turns up at Farsley as opposed to that useless Dr. Jekyll. I see what you did there, John. Very, very clever. Matt Lawson, Scarborough well capable of beating Trafford, but also well capable of turning up and losing 3-0. We were brought down to earth at Ossett last night, and it all depends on how we react. While Nigel Taylor, we, that's Ghoul, need to start winning a few games, hopefully starting against Cone. Gary Lloyd, Corwin Bay needs to start picking up points now that we only have the league to focus on. And Matthew Phillips, lastly now from Division 1 North, Matthew Phillips, Brig House away for Lancaster, a very tough game for both teams when they are literally breathing on each other's back at the top of the league. Imagery there from Matthew Phillips. Thank you. To Division 1 South, Andrew Dixon has been in touch with a beautifully well put together comment. Sheffield have started to turn a corner after a tough start to the season. Manager Jazz Colliver seems to have the support of everyone around the club, which is great to see after we've chopped and changed managers too often in recent years. Take a point at Market Drayton, but if we put the effort in, then why not another three? Sadly, my wife selfishly decided to be born on November the 5th, so I'm not allowed to go. And on behalf of all the listeners, a happy birthday to Mrs. Dixon. John Gare, rugby town fan looking for substantial snowfall around Barnsley, please. Oh, come on, John, it might not be that bad. And Dom Haynes, a tricky one for Belper Town at home to Witton Albion, would happily take a draw, but just hoping to see the lads put a good shift in. While Lee Digger Graves has been in touch to say the Nailers face Witton at home. Witton have had a very good start, so will be a very tough test for us. 7 points, though, from the last 9, so hoping to build on that. Come on, you Nailers. And lastly, from Division 1 South, Matthew Wildsmith, Gresley away at Chasetown. If we show the commitment and effort that we did last night and that we did for the first 6 to 7 games, I am positive of a great result. That's Division 1. To the Premier Division, John Hague, we'll be eating Barwell Burgers and hoping Blythe can take Tuesday night's momentum into the league. And Jay Lyons, from a Corby Town perspective, no game. I should be happy, but I'm not. It can't get any worse. Oh, okay, Jay. Hopefully this show's cheered you up, though. And lastly, from an FA Cup perspective, Daniel Oslin's gonna be a tough game against Whitehawk, but I can feel a cup upset coming. Come on, you glass boys. Now, that is the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week. A big thank you to all the YouTube channels and radio stations and football clubs who provided their own internal interviews this week. Much appreciated. More of that, please, and then we can get more and more exposure to all the clubs in the Northern Premier League. Remember, you can get involved with all the chatter and discussions and banter on the NPL Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. For all the results from the league and all the latest news stories, please visit evostickleague.co.uk. And of course, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. A big, big good luck to Stamford, Stourbridge and Spennymoor Town in this weekend's FA Cup. We hope you win. Come on, into the hat for the second round on Monday evening. But from everyone here on Evo Stick Extra, wherever you're going this weekend, to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.